Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
If you would turn to Acts, please. Second chapter. Hallelujah. Say praise Yahweh. Yahweh's good. Hallelujah. So we're going to Acts, the second chapter. We've been talking about what you experienced just now. Say his presence. Somebody say his power. Somebody say his glory. Are you experiencing him today? I'm just saying. That's what we've been talking about. It's a shame that you would come and not experience him. That you would come and not hear from him. And so that is what we've been talking about. And our desire, somebody say, is to recognize. Because sometimes he's moving and going forth, but if you're not open, you're not going to what? You're not going to recognize it. You're not going to recognize his power. You're not going to recognize his glory. And so you're going to miss it. And tell your neighbor, I don't want to miss nothing. So I anticipate the supernatural too. You got to anticipate it. You got to expect him. Hallelujah. So when we look in the chapter of Acts, second chapter, there was a group of folks in there who were expecting. Because Yeshua said, I'm getting ready to go, and I'm going to send the Comforter for you. That you'll be able to be taught by the Comforter, that you'll be able to receive power. Don't do nothing until you what? Until he come. And so, don't get ahead of me now, brother. So, when we go to the second chapter, the 14th verse, these people previously received that power, right? And so as that power was going forth, the onlookers were like, what's wrong with them? They must be drunk. And so Kepha, or Peter, said in the 14th verse, he said, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose. Because you got a concept of being drunk. And your concept is that if you've had too much to drink, you're going to demonstrate some attributes. And he said, yeah, they're drunk, but not like you think. This ain't drunk from wine. But they're drunk because they're full of something else. And we can just rule out wine because this is the third hour of the day. It's too early to drink anyway. Hey. But you know there's some people, they got issues. They don't care what time it is. They're going to drink. But here, we're ruling that out. But yeah, they are full of something. And so we looked in the 16th verse and it said, but this is that. We talked about this last week. We're going to pick up This, what is that? What you're experiencing right now. Amen. This, that presence that is being manifested and demonstrated. This is what's happening in them. They're full. This is a demonstration and a manifestation of that. And this is what he's saying to us, that he needs us to get to this, but we got to understand that. Ask your neighbor, what is that? Well, he said, you should know what that is because it was spoken by the prophet. That means that whatever the prophet has spoke, we have been expecting this for hundreds of years. It was already prophesied. So we took you back to Joel, if you will turn with me, to go to Joel, the second chapter. You got to be able to recognize that. You got to know what that is. So what was that? And so we go to Joel 2, or Joel is his Hebrew name, second chapter. And the 27th verse. And it says what? This is, hold up. This is a prophecy that came hundreds of years before Acts even took place. There was an expectation. And so he said, when that comes, this is what that's going to look like. You're going to know that I'm in the midst of Israel. And that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. You're going to see my glory. You're going to see my glory manifested. And you're going to know that I'm me and nobody else. Nothing else. It's me. It's not wine, it's me. It's not emotion, it's me. It's not what you think in your head. I'm about to show you something. It's all me. It's my glory. And when you see this, my people shall never be. You think those folks was ashamed that they was rolling around and speaking in tongues and prophesying and jumping up and shouting and calling on him? Tell your neighbor, ashamed for what? For what? And the 28th verse says what? 28 says what? Now he, this dude right here, he not ashamed. He's feeling that presence and power. So the 28th verse says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'm going to do something. To get to this, I got to pour out that. Come on, you want to experience this? Let me pour out that. And what is that? He says, my spirit. Come on, y'all. My spirit. His spirit. There's already some glory and some presence going on in heaven, and I'm going to take some of that, and I'm going to pour it out on you. How is that possible? He pouring it out. Taking something supernatural. Come on. Something spiritual, something powerful. The weight of his glory. And he's given us an opportunity to experience it here on earth. He said, I'm going to pour some of this glory out on the flesh. And how will you know? Because your sons and your daughters, they're going to start prophesying. And the old men are going to dream dreams. And your young men are going to what? See visions. Somebody said, this is the manifestation of the glory. So he says, I'm going to pour my spirit out. And this had not happened before. He said, you're going to experience something that's, he said, I'm going to do something brand new. I'm going to pour it out. And when I pour it out, you're going to know it's me. And when I pour it out, you're going to know that I'm with you. I'm in the midst of you. Guess what? He's still pouring it out right now. He's still pouring it out today. He's still manifesting in the midst of us. And so when we go back there, it says the same thing. You go back to Acts, the second chapter, 14th verse. And we skip down to the 17th verse. After he said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall. Wow, that sounds just like Joel. Word for word. They were expecting it to happen. Yeshua even said, it's going to happen. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall what? Dream dreams. And in 18th it says, and on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Do I got any servants in the house? Do I have any handmaidens in the... And so, when we go here, what is this pouring out? What is this unction, supernatural unction? How do you get that atmosphere of heaven down here on earth? How do you get the glory? Because we talked about the glory at great length. But now, how do you, what is that transference of glory that we can experience so that we could recognize it? What is this bestowing of power? What does it sound like? What does it look like? How is it done? Go to Exodus. There's a word that explains how this is done. How is this glory brought down to man? If you go to Exodus, and if you're a Hebrew scholar, Exodus is Mot. And it is the 25th chapter. And let's go to the first verse. What I love about the Old Testament is that it tells, foretells. They use a word called foreshadows. It talks about, it expresses things that are getting ready to happen. And in the Old Testament, you see the pattern. Somebody say patterns. Somebody say types. So you're going to see some things, a blueprint. You're going to see a foretelling or a prophesying of what is to come. And the beauty is when you see that those things were talked about in the Old Testament, and then, behold, in the New Testament, they start coming to pass. See, what Yahweh has set up and what Yahweh has designed means something. So that's why we go back to Exodus, because we're going to say, how was he setting this thing up to show us his glory? I'm going to show you. That's not me saying, that's him. He's in the Old Testament, he's speaking, I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to manifest it to you. So we look and we see a servant, Moshe, Moses, who is being obedient. And Yahweh is communicating to him things that need to be done, so that his glory can be experienced. He's giving him instructions. To receive those instructions, Moshe or Moses had to be what? Open. Tell your neighbor, obedient. See, Yahweh's trying to show you his glory. But sometimes we miss his glory because we're not obedient. We'll say stuff like, doesn't matter. We can do it this way. It's okay. He don't care. It's all the same thing. That's not what we do. We just, you know, the recipe calls for vanilla pudding. And you say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to use banana pudding. But the recipe ain't going to come out like it's supposed to, because it didn't say use banana pudding. It said use what? And anybody knows, if you use banana pudding for banana pudding, it's too much banana. You gotta smooth out the flavor profile by using vanilla and then using some real bananas. Now, somebody might think they know better, but I tasted your banana pudding, and that was... And it's just something's not right about it. It's too much banana. But to get to the end result of the recipe calls that you follow the instructions. So if you want to experience his glory, he said, I need you to follow these instructions. And so I had to set that up, because in Exodus, the 25th chapter, the first verse, he says what? And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Because I'm trying to get you in a place where you can experience me, but you got to follow my instructions. So tell them to bring me an offering. And he said, and this is the offering which ye shall take of them. What is he saying? I'm asking specifically for what I want. Not for what you think in your mind, but tell them this is the offering. And he says, gold and silver and brass. Somebody wanted to bring nickel. Tell your neighbor he didn't ask for that. We're about to set up this types and shadow. We're setting the foundation for, there's some stuff you need to recognize in your own life. He didn't ask for that. So he said gold and silver and brass. And then the fourth verse he says, and blue and purple and scarlet. Somebody had green. Tell your neighbor he didn't ask for that. He said blue and purple and scarlet. Well, pink is good enough. It's in the red family. No. One more time, tell your neighbor. He didn't ask for that. Blue. He said, I don't care what you got to go through to get it. I don't care if you got fuchsia in your closet. Whatever I'm asking for, you need to take the time and find the scarlet. Give me what I'm asking for. And he said, oh, see that? I'm buying you. He don't want me to say that. Because some folks trying to pull out the pink and scarlet and the fuchsia. And the green and the nickel. And he said, fine linen. Not just linen, because I got some linen. No. He said, fine linen. And he said, and goat's hair. Well, what about He said, no. It's in the family. I ain't asked for that. I won't go. But it seems to me, I think, well, I feel like sheep is better than goat. Tell your neighbor, he ain't asked you what you think. And then he said in the fifth verse, and rams' skins dyed red, and badgers' skin, and shittim wood. And the sixth verse says, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet. What is going on here? What is he asking for all this stuff for? Let's go further. Seven. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Eighth verse. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may. He's giving the specifications of what's going to be his tabernacle, his sanctuary, a place where you can experience him. But he said, I want to dwell among you, but I can't do that under your conditions. I can only do that if you follow my instructions for the conditions that I have let you know. That's right. Amen. He says, do you want to experience me? Do you want to experience my glory? If you want to experience me, I'm going to tell you how to do it. But you must follow my instructions. So there is a word in all of these instructions that will be expounded out, and we'll find out how important it is and how specific it is. Go back to the sixth verse. And sixth verse says, oil for the light, spices for the anointing. The first time the word was ever used was here. And that word is anointing. Why is anointing important? Well, let's look at the meaning of the word anointing. Anointing means, it's the Hebrew word misha. Say misha. The anointing is the unction, the act, the move, the consecratory gift, the ointment. To rub with oil means to set apart for his purpose. If you want to experience me, you have to do it by the anointing. Come on now. And it's not just any way to be anointed. It's some specific things that I have pointed out that you experience the anointing. The anointing is a transfer from my glory to you. If you want to experience me, you need to have my anointing. When he talked about pouring it out on the Spirit, how is that going to happen? By the anointing. What does that mean? We found out what it means. But let me tell you how specific my God is. Go to the same book, Exodus, But go to the 30th chapter. He said, I'm going to need you to prepare this anointing oil. Well, I got Wesson. I got safflower. I'm just saying. Somebody got Crisco. Do they still sell that? No, this right here. I'm trying to show you the essence of my glory. It's very specific. And the 22nd verse of Exodus says, moreover, Yahweh spake to Moses. You know what? He was speaking to him in the 25th chapter. Speaking to him in the 30th chapter. Yahweh can't speak to you unless you're trying to listen. A lot of stuff he's trying to tell you so that you can experience him in a way that you have no idea. But he needs you to listen. And hallelujah, and thank Yahweh that Moshe was listening. When you go on this fast, start listening. Because he's trying to tell you something. A lot of times your mind and your flesh get so loud you can't even hear the voice of Yahweh. But that's what we trying to kill all that noise. Anybody willing to kill the noise so that we can hear? So very clearly and succinctly, Yahweh speaking to him, and he says, 23rd verse, this is how we do the oil. He says, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh. He said, give 500 shekels. Of sweet cinnamon, half of that. Hold up. What is he doing? He's saying, there's a recipe for the anointing. You can't just try to put together some stuff you think. He's like, no. If this is a type and shadow of what we, how we should be approaching him, then we can't come to him in any old kind of way. We can't say, oh, it doesn't matter. You can call him Jesus and you call him Yeshua and, you know, it's all the same. Wait, no. The God I serve is very specific. It's his modus operandi. It's his MO. It's the way he's been doing things. It's the way he's doing things now. And it's the way he's always going to do things. It doesn't change. Yeshua HaMashiach, today, the same today, yesterday, and forever. He ain't changing. So if he was a specific God back then, tell your neighbor, he's still a specific God. Now we, on the other hand, oh, it don't matter. You don't need to be baptized. It's all good. You don't need the Holy Ghost. It's all good. He don't need all that. You doing too much. Well, hold up. I serve a God that says, take principal spices, get pure myrrh. Not regular. Get pure. And he told him how much to get. Get 500 shekels. And then get some sweet cinnamon. Not cinnamon, but make sure it's sweet. Tell your neighbor, sweet. And get about 100 shekels. No. What's half of the other previous one? 250. Well, we only got 200. Find another 50. And he said, even 250 shekels and of sweet calamus. 250 shekels. Why am I spending time with this? Because he's trying to lay a foundation that y'all understand that you just can't come to him any old kind of way. He's asking some specific stuff from you. And he says on the next verse, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hin. And then the 25th says, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy. And he's trying to tell your neighbor, he's trying to show us something. And he says, an anointment, a compound after the art of the apothecary, it shall be a holy anointment. Not just a regular oil, but this right here. Hold up. The God that we serve is Kadosh. We serve a God that is what? Holy. Somebody say holy. Somebody say Kadosh. So if he's going to transfer his power and he's asking for a specific anointing, then that oil has to be a holy anointment. Oil. 26 says what? And thou shalt anoint the... Wait, hold up. But we made the tabernacle. Just come on down. He said, no. Yeah, you made the tabernacle, but you're going to have to do something to it before I will dwell there. He says, anoint it. Of the congregation therewith. And the ark of the testimony is 27th verse says what? And the table and all the vessels and the candlesticks and his vessel and the altar of incense. Okay, we got all that stuff, but we can't do nothing with it until we anoint it. And you can't just do it with some regular stuff. It has to be the specific. Go to that slide real quick. Talks about the oil, y'all. And it's breaking down pure myrrh. Check this out. Pure myrrh is a resin from a small thorny tree, collected when one wounds the tree by penetrating the bark. So you got to get that specific one. Then sweet cinnamon, it comes from the islands of the Indian Ocean. It is produced from the dried inner rind of the tree. Where I get the next one, sweet calamus. This is a fragrant cane whose root is highly prized as a spice, and it grows in Arabia and India. You can't get it everywhere. Cassia, it's an aromatic bark of a shrub resembling the cinnamon tree. What else? Pure olive oil. Not regular. But he says what? Pure. So when we go back here, go back to the 25th verse. And it says, thou shalt make a holy ointment and a compound and what? After apothecary. And 26 says, you got to anoint everything. 28th verse, let's skip there. And the altar of a burnt offering with all of his vessels and the laver of his foot. 29. And thou shalt... Anointing signifies something is going on here. Yeah, you got everything, but you can't use it. And I'm not going to be there until you anoint it. And the anointing means that it's sanctified. And that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be what? Holy. So you can't even... Put your hands on the stuff unless it's what? 30th verse. And thou shalt anoint Aaron. But Aaron, you know, he's already working for you, Father. I don't care. He can't touch nothing unless he's anointed. So he can't even be a recipient a recipient of the glory that's about to happen until he is anointed. And not only that, all the people that's working with him gotta be anointed. Tell your neighbor, it's the anointing. If you want to see something, if you want to see some results, you got to go through the anointing. And it says, consecrate them. That means set them apart. That they may minister unto me in the priest's office. So yeah, they may be there and ready to work, but they can't do nothing effective for me until they got the anointing. Wow, that sounds like that might have something to do with us. We can't do nothing effectively in him unless we have. Well, hold up. What about Yeshua? Well, let's look at his name. His name is Yeshua. Ha? Mashiach. Well, we understand Yeshua means he will save, he'll deliver, but what is this HaMashiach? The anointed one. So are you telling me that even Yeshua can't do what needs to be done until he's anointed? Somebody say it's the anointing. How is that possible? How was Yeshua anointed? What does that have to do with me? Even Yeshua could not accomplish the work of Yahweh until he was anointed. The sanctuary could not even be used until it was what? Tell your neighbor, you can't do nothing without the anointing. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. What does that mean to me and you? What does that mean to me and you? Go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to wrap you up here because we got to. Oh. His very name reveals his purpose. But if the temple had to be anointed, my goodness, and all the stuff that went along with it had to be anointed, and the guys that touched it had to be anointed. And even the very Savior that's coming, his name means that he is the anointed one. He is anointed. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 16, verse. If you got to say, I got it. And I'm just going to ask a question of you. Know ye not that you are the temple of Yahweh, and that the Spirit of Yahweh dwelleth in you? Well, if you're the temple, you need the anointing. Because don't you know that you are the very temple, the dwelling place? And if Yahweh has specific things about his dwelling place, his sanctuary, all the things that went in there, his anointing oil, then what makes you think that he don't have no specifications for you? You want to experience his glory, and you want his blessings, and you want him to do something for you. You want him to show up, but you won't treat your temple as a place where he's supposed to dwell? Do you think that it doesn't matter what you do, what comes out of your mouth, what you allow your mind to get you involved in, and then you expect to come here and for him to show up? You won't even recognize his glory because you don't even recognize that you are the temple. If you don't recognize him in you, how on earth are you going to recognize him in here? to be anointed. What about you? If he requires an anointing here, you can't even touch the stuff. How on earth are you going to get anything from him unless you allow the anointing to come upon you? We need the anointing. We long for the anointing. You got to see people say, well, I just want to experience him in a powerful way. I see other people experiencing him in a powerful way, and I just want to experience him in a powerful way. Clean up your act. Well, you know, over there at ABC Church, you know, they experience him in a powerful way. But don't you know that ABC starts here? ABC start up in you. And you got to start cleaning house. Come on, come on. You got to start allowing the purging to take place in you. You got to allow him to burn out all that iniquity in you so he'll have a place to dwell. Do you want him to show up in your life? Then open yourself up to his anointing, but follow his specifications. Follow the pattern. He says, give me what I am asking for. I am not going to settle for anything less from you than what I'm asking for. Do we got anybody who is willing to give Yahweh what he's asking for? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father Yahweh, we come to you right now. In the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we are about to embark upon something that we know that will change our lives in a dramatic, an incredible way. We want your anointing. We need your anointing. We want your pour out. We need you to pour out your anointing on each and every one of us. But we understand that there's some things that we need to address. Right now, as the church, the body of Mashiach, we're calling out to you, Yahweh. We're ready to make the changes. If you find anything out of in us, take it out right now. Straighten us up, Father Yahweh, in the mighty name of Yeshua. We want a dwelling place for you. We want to experience your glory in all the ways that you have designed it to go forth. We want to be used by you. We want you to flow through us and out of us and to us and around us. We want to see your glory. But we understand that we got to clean up our temple. So right now, we're ready. 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 We cry out. We're ready. We're ready, Abba. Pour out on us. Pour out on us right now. Hallelujah. Take us on this journey as we go forth and leap into this fast. We're pursuing you. We're looking for you. Most importantly, Abba, we want to hear from you. Speak to us. Speak to us, Abba. We're listening. We're always going to be listening. We give ourselves to hear your voice. And we are ready to receive all of the victory, all of the power, hallelujah, all of the authority, all of the anointing. And we receive that right now. We receive it right now. We receive it. 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 We hold on to it. We receive it. Can we give you the glory? In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads really quick. Let's bow our heads real quick. I must say this before I leave. If there's anyone that's desiring this close walk, this transformation, and you say, you know what? I'm hearing his power from his word. I'm hearing the power and the anointing that's gone forth in the worship and the singing. And I want this relationship in my life. You're speaking to me and I hear you. And if you're saying, I want that in my life, you can start today. You can start new life today. You can start transformation today. And I can pray for you. All you need to do is raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah, that's one. You're saying, I want this, I want this, I want him. Hallelujah. Maybe you've had a relationship, but you're saying, you know what? I have drifted away. I'm not as close as I used to be. And I want to be restored. He's the God of restoration. He's the God of the second chance. So right now, if that's you, and you need restoration, you've drifted away and you're saying, he's calling me back. Raise your hand and we'll pray for you. For restoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everyone keep your head bowed. If you bow your head, raise your hand for any of those things. Just come up right now and we're going to pray together. For your power, all the ways that you have manifested yourself unto us, and right now, Father Yahweh, as these souls go before you in the mighty name of Yeshua, show them, restore them, bring them to new life and transformation in a way that they have never experienced before. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We receive you. We receive you. We receive you. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, and